So I didn't prepare anything. I thought I would just hear what other people said and see if anything was missing. So Gita's the teacher that I've had more contact with than any other teacher in terms of being a student. And I was fortunate to live in India for a year. And at that time, she was teaching every day and sometimes twice a day when there were medical classes. So I was either attending her class or assisting her class. And from the very beginning, when I arrived in India, I didn't think I really wanted to be a yoga teacher. That wasn't my intention. I wanted to be a yoga student. But she consistently threw me into the role. I won't even say threw me. She kept pointing out to me the need to help. And she would, and that's the role of the teacher. The role of the teacher is to help the people in the class, the students. So that was always her message until the end. I was in her class in December, as many people in this room were also. And she, you know, she never neglected anybody in her classes. And as people have already mentioned, that the students, the people who needed help, she was there for them. And if she saw somebody was struggling, if somebody was sick, if they needed her assistance, she would stop everything. And even when there were 1,300 people in the room and the clock is running, she's running out of time, she'd call up that person, she'd see them from all corners of the room, somebody needs her help, somebody is struggling, and she'd call them on the stage, and she'd work with them until not only had she figured it out, but they had some path out of that suffering. Something to take them, maybe not the entire path, but to get them in the right direction. And we witnessed that just in December. You know, it was no different in her regular general classes. Sometimes those classes went over by 20 minutes, half an hour, an hour, because she would just, she was in the moment, she would get carried away with what she was teaching, but she also was not satisfied to just leave us until there had been some transformation. But she was always concerned with those people who needed the most help. Abhijata, when they did the memorial in India, 13 days after her death, Abhijata was talking about her life, and Abhijata was talking about how in the beginning it was really very unsettling to her that she was spending, she thought she was wasting so much time on sometimes the students who seemed the most incompetent in class, or people who seemed to, she thought it was like pearls before a swine. You know, she was really helping these people who maybe didn't even realize the gifts that they were getting, but she didn't discriminate, and she wasn't interested in just the, you know, who was the most advanced or seemed like the most serious student. She was interested in the person who wasn't getting it. And I wanted to just share a little bit about her final days for those of you who weren't there. She's been saying for the last year that she is going to make it to the 100th birthday of her father, which was December 14th of 2018. And she said, it's a struggle for me to make it to that date. She was, as everybody knows, she was suffering, she was sick. Of course, you know, I heard her saying it. You know, Chris told the story about her visiting those goddess temples a couple years ago when I was sitting with her and we were just chatting. I mean, she wasn't one for small talk. But she would always kind of get to the heart of things. Even when there was a kind of small talk, she would always ask about the really the necessities. It was interesting to me the things that she would ask me about my personal life. I was always concerned for my like survival level being taken care of. We were talking about what she'd like to do, and she mentioned about visiting these goddess temples. We were talking specifically about these temples, but this was like a dream of hers. And she squeezed this in her last year of life. She told us from a year ago, this is gonna be I'm gonna only make it to the 100th birthday. God willing, I make it to the 100th birthday. She's been saying that all year long. I don't think any of us believed it because there she was, like a fireball teaching in class, and she taught a lot this year. She, when she finally, you know, she decided she was going to come back to teaching in the summer, and she taught a lot. She taught more classes than she was actually scheduled to teach. Abhijata told the story that she offered to sub for Abhi. She offered to sub for some of the other teachers who were teaching the beginning classes. So she was, wasn't like suddenly she was having this physical revival, but she had this imperative to finish her work. And in the end of October, she told the teachers in Pune and the family, they were all busy preparing for this huge 12-day birthday celebration, 100th birthday celebration, and they had been planning for a year, and their countdown was there, and she said, I want to teach a special course intensive for all the teachers here in India. And they said, right now? She said, yeah, now, in November. They said, well, let's just wait till after the birthday. We have so much work to do. You have a lot of work to do. You have to get up there and teach 1,300 students. Let's wait till after the birthday. She said, no, it has to happen before the birthday. They had to rent a space. It was not an easy thing. They had to organize at the last minute. Maybe they had 2 weeks' notice to organize some big gathering. But she said, all those teachers came together, she said, I want to teach on therapy, yoga therapy. I feel like this is something I haven't explained enough. She taught it to those of us who got to assist her in the medical class, but she didn't teach it. She taught it here in the U.S. as a convention, Portland convention. She focused on therapy, but she wanted to teach it to the Indian teachers. So it was something that she felt was left unfinished. Then she taught us for 10 days. And in those 10, well, she taught us for 5 days. There was a 10-day course. She taught us for the last 5 days. And in those days, she every day ran out of time, went over the clock. You know, her granddaughter's like, hey, look at the time. Lunch is getting cold. But she, 5 hours, some days almost 5 hours teaching straight. She had to ask us, do you guys want a break? do you need to go to the bathroom? But she taught, she even, you know, demonstrated pranayama for us. She told us, my breath, I don't have a strong breath right now. But she demonstrated for us pranayamas. You could see that she had been, that it was a struggle for her, but she had to show us things, pranayamas, that probably many people had never seen. And she told, she, like always, like a laser, was focusing in, and as several people mentioned, this theme of fear. Lisa mentioned that she wrote Gem, or Anna was talking also about Gem for Women, and that, you know, she said women were afraid to do yoga. When she first started teaching, women were afraid, and she wanted to help women overcome their fear. So that was one of the reasons why she wrote Gem for Women. So she was constantly, and then Linda just told that story about last year. She talked about fear in the class. She was constantly trying to get us to come overcome our fears. But in December, she taught a few classes where she just pushed, she said, get over your fear of death. She kept talking about death. And she said, you know, she would have us in a pose. She'd say, stay there, do it or die. What's gonna happen? Are you gonna die? And if you are, find out. Don't be afraid to cross that threshold. Of course, she knew we weren't going to die in that pose, but we had to have that confidence. And it was like her, you know, ushering us to the other side. She, when the moment her father died, she told us all that she wanted to go be with him, and that he told her he couldn't come. She couldn't come be with him yet. It wasn't her time. But she, so she did her work, and her whole life was a kind of work or her duty. She was named after the Bhagavad Gita, the text. And the Bhagavad Gita, one of the themes in that text is Swadharma, our personal duty. And the Bhagavad Gita talks about mainly three forms of yoga. Karma yoga being one of them, the yoga of work, the yoga of doing our duty. And when I think about somebody who's on their deathbed, the days before they're dying, I could think of, you know, when I'm like, when I'm sick, I want to preserve my energy. I want to be, contain myself, be around people who can take care of me, or be at least in a place where I can take care of myself. But she was on her deathbed, and she was on a stage teaching 1,300 people, extending her time. She was clearly fatigued and she didn't stop because she had more to give. And that was her duty. Her duty was to share what her father taught her and what she's learned about yoga in her whole life. And when she's had times of sickness, times where she didn't teach, as Linda mentioned, where she was even hospitalized, and this was not that. She chose this time of death. There is no doubt she chose this time of death. She told us, I'm gonna make it to the 100th birthday. She made it to the 100th birthday. Even the day of during the celebration, they asked her to give a lecture. She was so fatigued after having just taught for 5 days. She said, I don't know that I can do this. But she dragged herself there. She sat down. I remember she was breathing heavily and she just sat and breathed. We watched her breathe before she started talking. And then she gave an hour long talk about her father. And after the whole celebration, her whole family had come. We had come from all over the world. Something like 56 countries or something. I don't know the exact number. Yeah.
2 hours.
2 hour lecture about her father.
It was supposed to be from, what was it, like 2:30 to 4, and she went to like 4:30. And she had to quit because those people had to get on the bus.
It was 2 hours she spoke about her father after basically wanting to stay home because she was so exhausted. In that talk, she talked about, I have to cut this short, but she talked about her father, she talked about his whole life, his teachings, how, what he would have taught, how he was still on this, she talked about him as if she's still in conversation with him, the books that he was yet to write. She talked about how he's working on the chakras and how there's a book about the chakras that was coming, but never, he didn't have time on this planet to do it. So there was a sense of this continuum of her in conversation, being close to him. After that full day, ceremonies, everybody coming to talk to her, all of her family was there. She, the next day after his birthday, she went home. People came from all over the world to say goodbye to her. And she let them in her house. She could have closed the door. She could have said, that's it, I'm tired. Obviously she was exhausted. But she let people come in until 7:30 at night. People came to say goodbye, to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about with her. After that, she went to be with her family. Her sister told me they watched a TV show about Vitthal, who is a Maharashtrian, a god in Maharashtra that's related to Vishnu. And they watched that on TV because, you know, she would watch TV, but her interests, her joys in life were all completely devotional. What did she want to do when she's in LA? She wants to go to the temple. She wants to go visit the Bhagavad Gita Museum. She wants to, in her last year of her life, go visit these goddess temples, final pilgrimage. So she watched that show. They had dinner. She told her sister, my work is done. And the rest is up to him. She went to sleep. She woke up the next morning, had trouble breathing, said, I want to do a forward bend. She bent forward, rested her head on, somebody brought her a stool, and as peacefully as that, she died. That was something like 5:30 in the morning. So that was not a person preserving their energy. She was giving to the very end of her life. And when I look at that, I mean, it was a shock for all of us, but when we look back on it, well, she's been telling us the whole time. This was her plan. And even that gift of her death, when so many people were still there, we got to be there, see her body, those of us who were still there. She gave us the gift of her presence. She gave us her energy. And I just want to say that's, you know, considered to be one of the greatest sacrifices we can make prior to the Upanishads. There was, you know, a lot of ritual worship in India, and you would sacrifice things, living things sometimes, or you'd make monetary sacrifices. And then this revolution of yoga came along, and it was about sacrifice of your prana. The ultimate sacrifice you can make is the sacrifice of your own life force. Well, that's what she did. She showed us what a karma yogi looks like, somebody who practices the yoga of their swadharma, doing their duty, working for a higher purpose and giving your prana to all of us to the end. So I think that's all I really want to say about Gita.
Do you want to lead us to